Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam
namaskrityam. Narayanam chaiva narottamam.
Devim
sarasvatim
vyasam.
Tato jayamudhirayet.
Nashta
prayasya
bhadreshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavate uttama
shloke. Bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, chapter entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 15. Kaman prayahi jahi vishravaso vameham.
Kaman prayahi jahi vishravaso vameham.
Trailokya ravanam avapnuhi vira patnim.
Trailokya ravanam apuhi vira patnim.
Badnihi setum ihate yashaso vitatyai. Gayanti Digvijayino Yam Upetya Bhupa. Please repeat. Kamam,
Kamam.
As you like.
Like.
Prayahi.
Prayahi.
You may go over my water.
You may go over my water.
Jahi.
Jahi.
Just conquer.
Just conquer.
Vishravasaha.
Vishravasaha.
Of Vishrava Muni.
Avemeham.
Pollution,
pollution
like urine.
Like urine.
Trailokya,
Trailokya
for the three worlds.
The three worlds.
Ravanam,
Ravana.
The person known as Ravana.
The person known as Ravana.
The cause of weeping.
Cause of weeping.
Avapnuhi.
Avapnuhi.
Regain.
Regain.
Vira.
Vira.
O great hero.
O great hero.
Patnim.
Patnim.
Your wife.
Badnihi,
just construct.
Just construct.
Setum, a bridge.
Bridge.
Iha,
here,
here, on this water.
On this water.
Te, of your good self.
Of your good self.
Yashasaha,
Yashasaha.
Fame.
Fame.
Vitatyai,
Vitatyai.
To expand.
To expand.
Gayanti,
Gayanti.
Will glorify.
Will glorify.
Digvijayina.
Digvijayina.
Great heroes who have conquered all directions. Yam, which? Upetya, coming near. Bhupaha, great kings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Do we repeat?
It's your choice.
Okay, I'll just go to the purport. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified, and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbance to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata taktva deham punar janma naeti mameti shorjanam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, the activities of the Lord are not uncommon. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So firstly I'd like to thank Prabhu for asking me to speak. I'm not a scholar, I'm not the best of speakers. I'm sure there's many more qualified devotees here sitting in front of me. But anyway, I pray to all of you, pray to the deities that I can say something to inspire everyone to always remember Krishna and never forget him, including myself. But this is a very nice purport. I found it quite amusing, actually, the first paragraph. You know, it says that the sun and urine emanate from the same place, the genitals, putra and mutra, you know. And if the sun is not a devotee, or it says here also a great learned person, then the seminal discharge for begetting the sun is unsuccessful, and the sun is as good as urine, you know, you can flush him. But you know, it's interesting, Prabhupada says here that if he's not a devotee or if he's not a great learned person, but Ravana was actually a very great learned person. He was actually a Brahmana and a very good one too, you know, according to how Brahmanas are supposed to be. In fact, he was such a good Brahmana, he would chant Vedic mantras so nicely that demigods would invite him to do yajnas for them, you know, so he wasn't just He was quite learned. In fact, there was one time that he was doing a yajna, and while he was doing the yajna, you know, Agni is the wife of Swaha is the wife of Agni, you know, the demigod Agni. One time he was doing the yajna, Ravana, and this is why he's considered Uran, because you see, this is how he acts. He got so lusty after Agni's wife that midway, halfway through the yajna, he just picked her up and flew away. You know, so this is the kind of person that Ravana was. Although he was qualified as a brahmana and a very good one too, but he was a demon. You know, brahmanas can be demons too. So, great learned person means, you know, real knowledge. Real knowledge means, okay, you know, being a brahmana and knowing the Vedas are useful. But if your consciousness is like that of Ravana, who likes to steal, you know, which is literally what he does. And here also, this whole pastime is happening. He's trying to enjoy the energy of the Lord, you know. In one sense, in Kali Yuga, we're all little Ravanas, you know, because here we're in the material world, it's material nature, it's Krishna's energy, you know. His reflected energy, but his energy nonetheless. And when you try and exploit it, that's Ravana consciousness. In fact, you can't really exploit Krishna's energy, because Krishna's energy is only for Krishna. You know, as soon as you try, you get a reflected, you get, like Ravana never really touched Sita. You know, she's known as Chaya Sita, like a shadow, because you can't really, it's not possible. She's only for Krishna. So even in this material world, we have this whole shadowy existence, you know, to try and enjoy. And then when you're frustrated enough, you know, when you don't want to be urine anymore, you want to be a real son, then you understand that, no, this is not my property. This is Krishna's property. And that's the qualification. Real knowledge means devotee. Because Prabhupada says here, when a son is a devotee or a great learned person, you know, or, so, you could say, you know, they're synonyms in one sense. Because that's real qualification, being a devotee of the Lord. It's a very rare thing, actually. You know, out of thousands and thousands of brahmanas, you get one Vaishnava. You know, out of thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas who worship Vishnu, you get one worshipper of Krishna. It's a very, very rare thing. And Prabhupada explains here very nicely that because of this, the ocean personified wanted him to be killed. Actually, everyone wanted Ravana to be killed. He was very, very strong and very powerful. Actually, due to his, you know, all of his qualities, his so-called good qualities, anything devoid of Krishna is a bad quality, but his apparent good qualities made him very powerful also. You know, he couldn't be stopped by anyone. Therefore, Lord Ramachandra had to come. Also, we understand that he's also a devotee in one sense, you know, Ravana. He's coming so that this pastime can be enacted. And Prabhupada goes on to explain how the ocean is speaking to Lord Ramchandra. And very nicely here, Prabhupada explains that Lord Ramchandra is omnipotent and he can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he constructed this wonderful large bridge. You know, like you see Hanuman, who's a devotee of Lord Ram, he went over to Lanka. He didn't have to construct a bridge. He simply chanted Ram and, you know. In fact, it's described that he chanted a whole Ram the whole way, like from the beginning of the jump to the end. It was like a long Ram, you know, and he landed. He also killed three demons along the way while chanting Lord Ram's name. So if he could do that, obviously Lord Ramachandra, who he's deriving the Shakti from to do that, could very easily cross over this bridge. So he didn't really need to make this wonderful, large, beautiful bridge, you know. But the ocean is telling Lord Ramachandra that you do this so that your fame will spread, you know, and you will be glorified. And Prabhupada says here that he doesn't have to, material impediments or inconveniences won't stop him, and he doesn't have to build a bridge, but he does so that people can know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? But it's very interesting, because I was hearing a lecture on this verse actually, and it was by Gaur Govinda Swami, and he was explaining how the fame of the Lord is spread by the devotees. You see, he could have just crossed the ocean like Hanuman, or you know, however he wanted to, but he used his devotees to build this bridge, you know. And in one sense, these devotees were preaching by building this bridge, you know, because this bridge was built and Lord Ram's fame was spread everywhere. And another point is Krishna, or Lord Ram, he accepts the bhaktas bhav, you know. This is a very beautiful pastime. We always hear the example of our Hanuman, you know, he got mountains and little spiders were just putting some dust, and squirrels were getting little pebbles. We always hear this, you know. And it's a very beautiful pastime, because Lord Ram could have just skipped the whole thing for practical purposes and just jumped over to Lanka. But no, he accepts the bhav of the bhakta, you know. He accepts the devotion. And that devotion is what spreads. This is real preaching, actually. You know? Real preaching is having devotion for Krishna. If you have devotion for Krishna, then Krishna's fame can spread. Preaching doesn't just mean, you know, repeating words that you've heard. You know, obviously, repeating the words of the spiritual master as it is, but with realization also. It's not sufficient to just parrot out things. You know, it's not good enough. So, like that, you'll find even Krishna in his pastimes. We're in Vrindavan, so we should speak of Krishna also. In his pastimes, you'll find that his activities seem very human. You know, they seem very common, you could say. And he relates with all of his devotees in a very natural way. Although he doesn't have to, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a difference between need and want. You know, you may not need something, but you may want something. You know, we have this desire also to get the newest phone, you know, although you have a quite perfectly functional phone, but you have this desire to want more. This is coming from Krishna actually, because Krishna is also such a person. I like this picture, you must have seen it, of Prabhupada pointing like that, and it says, Krishna wants you. You know, it's actually true. Krishna wants, because you have a specific relationship with him that nobody else has. So he wants that. In fact, Lord Chaitanya's preaching, his preaching manifested as an expansion of this very principle. He's feeling compassion for Krishna, thinking that you, Jiva, you're depriving Krishna of your specific relationship with him. So you go back home, back to Godhead, and satisfy that little want of his. It's not a need, it's something that we must understand. In fact, we need him, he doesn't need us. But he wants us, fortunately for us, you know. And you'll find in Krishna consciousness, as you're engaging in devotional service, Krishna always throws many indications that he wants you. You know? In fact, constantly, always, your relationship with him is eternal. Nothing can cut that. And he's always trying his level best to get to you, some way or the other. And these pastimes that are enacted are also a way to get to you. Because, you know, non-devotees, they will see the pastimes of Krishna and they will think, oh, he's just an ordinary lusty boy. He's just engaging in whatever, you know, he's not extraordinary. But devotees of the Lord, when they hear his pastimes that seem so ordinary, when they hear it, they actually relish how sweet it is. And it increases lobha maya shraddha. It increases your desire to be a part of that. Prabhupada ends this purport by quoting janma karma cha me divyam. You know, evam yo veti tatvata takta deyam punar janma naiti mameti shorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. Prabhupada used to always say, to love God, you have to know God. You know, very simple principle. It was in a conversation with a Jesuit priest. And Prabhupada was asking them that, what is your aim? What is the goal of your society? And they said, to love God. But Prabhupada replied, but to love God, you have to know Him. He said, you can't love me if you don't know me. And then he didn't really understand what Prabhupada was saying. But what Prabhupada was explaining is that you have to really get to know Him. And if you want to really get to know Him, you have to know His activities. You have to know where He lives. You have to know who His family is. He has a family. I was hearing a lecture where Prabhupada says, an easy way to go back home, back to Godhead, is to be a part of Krishna's family. Very sweet. Krishna's family is in Vrindavan. We're all here in Vrindavan. So we're trying to be a part of Krishna's family. And how can you be a part of Krishna's family? By knowing what Krishna wants and what He doesn't want. By hearing His pastimes. You get to know His personality. He's a person. He has likes and dislikes. He does certain things, you know. He has... You get to know His associates. You get to know Him. And you get to know how they do things by hearing pastimes of the Lord. Right now, we're hearing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra is Maryada Purushottama. He showed how to be a perfect man, which is very nice. But Krishna is Lila Purushottama. Prabhupada talks about Krishna here. He says, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. That's another thing. Although His pastimes look ordinary, He also does things like lifting the Govardhan hill for 7 days when He's only 7 years old, with His little finger in His left hand. You know, just to make sure, yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not just an ordinary boy. But he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead that seems to be like an ordinary boy. You know, I'm Prabhupada is talking about this verse in the end about how, you know, the activities of the Lord are not uncommon. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living entity. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are mentioned in the Shastras. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as He is. So it's very important to read these Shastras to understand the symptoms of the Lord's activities. They're symptoms of Krishna's activities, you know. You have to know what they are. Especially if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, and have a relationship with Him, then you have to know what the symptoms of His pastimes are. You know, there's a certain way Krishna does things and likes things to be done. I want to read the purport to this verse from Bhagavad Gita because it's quoted here. So I thought I'd read it a little because it's nice to hear what Prabhupada said. Okay. Here it is. The Lord descends. This is the purport from 4.9, chapter 4, text 9. The Lord's descent from His transcendental abode is already explained in the 6th verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is a risk of returning to the material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body, and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Ananta Rupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Anukrato Bhakta Vyapi Hrid Antar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is engaged eternally in many, many transcendental forms and relationships with his unalloyed devotees. There's a lot more, but I just wanted to read that. And it's interesting, Prabhupada says here that one has to understand the transcendental nature of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has a body, you know, even to that extent. And also he says that there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, but they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Something that struck me is we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is none different to Krishna himself. And right now, we're reading of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. You know, and Bhagavatam is one whole, complete Krishna. And as we're reading, we're actually taking darshan. I'm sure we've heard this many times. You start from the feet. Prabhupada would say you start from the feet. And then you go up to the lotus face. Not that, you straight, simply look at the lotus face. But that's just to appreciate that there is a body. Prabhupada says, what does he say here? He says that one has to understand the transcendental body of Krishna. So as we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam also, we're taking darshan, you know, of the body of Krishna. And right now we're somewhere near his neck, right? It's very close to his face. Face is the main thing though. That's something we must remember. When you have a relationship with someone, you recognize them with the face, you know, not by looking at their hands or legs or, you know, neck. You look at their face, and when you speak to them, you're looking at the face, and all the emotions and whatnot are being transferred face to face. Krishna, you can have him face to face too, you know. In fact, another purport that I just remember now, because Prabhupada is saying how there's so many transcendental forms of the Lord, and they're all one, which is true. But I'm just remembering this manmana bhava mad bhakto majyadi mam namaskuru verse, which is very nice because, you see, I just want to share what Prabhupada says in that. Sorry, please tolerate. Because we are reading Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, but we're in Vrindavan, so...
There's two parts. He says it twice.
No, I'm looking for the last one. Okay. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. The most confidential part of knowledge is one... This is the purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official mediator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. A very nice way to do that is chant for 24 hours. In ISKCON Vrindavan, we have 24-hour kirtan. You know, you can come whenever you can come, because it's 24 hours a day. You find the free time and come and see us. You know, and this is a very nice way to think of Krishna, by chanting his name. Because if you're chanting his name, Prabhupada says that you chant, I hear, I chant, you hear. This is full engagement. You know, it's complete engagement. It's a very nice way to think of Krishna. 24 hours. Cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. Face. This is one of the parts of his bodies. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. Now listen, this is like my favorite paragraph in all of Srila Prabhupada's books. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ramchandra, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. How nice is that? You have to think of the bluish boy with a peacock feather and a flute. Not even anyone else. So then one might think, but this is Bhagavatam, you know, and this is Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. But Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna with a flute and a peacock feather. And right now, you're looking at his neck, you know. And that's how you're supposed to appreciate these pastimes that we're reading right now. Going through Bhagavatam from the first canto to the second canto is to come to what platform? To come to this platform. Wait, I'll tell you which one. You know, you read Bhagavatam day in and day out, every day. Hopefully we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's very essential for proper advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, your bhakti lata won't grow so nicely. So if you're hearing Bhagavatam every day, if you're chanting Hare Krishna every day, if you're doing Sankirtan every day, then 24 hours a day, and the Lord's promise, what is the Lord's promise? The Lord's promise that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This is such a nice purport. Face to face. So we're reading Bhagavatam to get to his face. You know, you can't have a face without a body. It would be very strange to have a floating face. So you need to have a neck, so the face can sit on the head that can rest on the neck, and you have a neck that rests on the shoulders, and so on and so forth, and you have this wonderful, beautiful body. But that's how you have to see it, you know. Actually, you're supposed to see your Ishtadev, who hopefully is Shamsundar, Krishna. Your Ishtadev in any form of the Lord, whatever form he may come in, you will only see. What is that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita? What does it say? It says, Stavara Jangam Dekhiya Na Dekhiya Tar Spurti. You know the rest? I can't remember. Ishtadev, right? Ishtadev. You see your Ishtadev. In moving and non-moving, anything. Everything is a spurti. Everything is a impetus. Everything is like a stimulus for you to remember your Shamsundar, you know, in your heart, in Vrindavan. And that's the purport of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That's where we're trying to get. You know, yesterday's verse, I thought maybe I might have yesterday's verse, so I kind of studied a little bit on that verse. And then, anyway, Gauranga. But yesterday's verse was so nice. It's talking about, you know, how there are humans that are just so dull, and they're like animals. You know, I was hearing a lecture where Prabhupada says, and this is nice to know if you're living in Vrindavan or if you're here in Vrindavan, that if you come to Vrindavan and if you live in this dull way, like urine, you know, instead of being a proper son or daughter, you know, then I lost my chain of thought. What was I saying? Completely gone. I can't hear. Oh, yes, Vrindavan, animal, yes. So what I heard was Prabhupada said if you live in Vrindavan like a dull human being, not Krishna conscious, basically, you know, because, you know, in the West they have very nice, polished animal life, but it's animal life nonetheless, you know. And if you live in that way, then the Dham is so kind that she will not kick you out of the Dham. She will keep you here so you can rectify yourself. But she will, because offenses committed, and that's an offense, by the way, if you're not Krishna conscious in Vrindavan, ultimately you're materially conscious. And if you're materially conscious, then you're in the consciousness of Ravana. And if you're in the consciousness of Ravana, then you're stealing from Krishna. And that's offensive. So if you have no Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, then you're basically committing offense to the Dham. And in this offensive way, the Dham is so kind because you cannot rectify offenses to the Dham outside of the Dham. You have to rectify it in the Dham itself. So the Dham is so kind that she will keep you here, she will keep you here and award you a body suitable for your Dao consciousness, which is a body of a monkey or a hog or a dog or so many, you know, so many. But listen to this. At the end of your life as a monkey or a hog, you get to go back home, back to Godhead. Interesting, right? Prabhupada called it slipping in through the back door. So one may think, okay, I'll just come to Vrindavan, live a karmi life, go back home, back to Godhead. But then Prabhupada said, this is not recommended because you can only go to Vaikuntha in this way. If you want to go to Vrindavan, you have to have rag. You have to have spontaneous attachment to Krishna. And that has to be cultivated. How does that have to be cultivated? By knowing Krishna. By knowing His body. That is why we're reading Bhagavatam. That is why we have 24-hour kirtan in this temple. That is why we have such beautiful forms of Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram, and Radha Shyam Sundar. So that we can see them, we can chant their names, we can hear about them, and cultivate rag, your relationship with Krishna. Krishna consciousness is an internal affair. Externally, you can be the most perfect Brahmana. Ravana was a perfect Brahmana. But Krishna consciousness is an internal affair. It's your relationship with Krishna. And you have to endeavor to cultivate that relationship with Krishna. No one else is going to do it for you. All of these books is to inspire you to do that. You read all of Bhagavatam, you read all of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know the pastimes of the Lord, and then there's so many more books. The Goswamis have written the Sandarbhas, you know, Jiva Goswami, and Rupa Goswami has written Nectar of Devotion, and more than that, he's written Ujjvala Nilamani, which is the next part. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented on Ujjvala Nilamani quite extensively. It's quite a small book, Ujjvala Nilamani, but with Vishwanatha Chakravarti commentary, it like becomes this big. You know, so there's so much. Why have they so painstakingly, you know, written so many things? Why was Prabhupada lying down right here next to us in Prabhupada's house, translating Bhagavatam with so much difficulty, so that you have an opportunity to cultivate that rag? Technically, if you come here and live just like a karmi, you go back home, back to Godhead. That's the glory of Vrindavan Dham. But that's not what we want. We don't want to go to Vaikuntha. We want Krishna, who is bluish and has a peacock feather and plays the flute. That's who we want. And He's not so cheap. He's not so cheap that you just become a monkey and go back to Him. It's not gonna work that easy. You know, you have to really not be dull. And how you not be dull is by cultivating pure Krishna consciousness. By seeking out pure devotional sangha, you know. That's how you get it. That's how you get this. You know, it's like a flu actually, you know. When Lord Chaitanya he got initiated and he came back from Gaya, right? Yeah, when he came back from Gaya, he's completely transformed. Nimai Pandit, who was just, you know, chastising everyone and making a fool out of everyone with his logic and nyaya, you know, so expertly that he would defeat someone, and then once they would accept defeat, he would say, actually no, you were right. And then he would prove to them how they were right. And they would accept, yes, I was right. Then he would prove to them again, actually, no, you were wrong. Like this, he would just humiliate them. You know, he went to Gaya, such a exalted, you know, personality, went to Gaya and came back completely mad, just hugging tamal trees and rolling on the floor and simply jumping up and down and chanting. People thought there was a ghost in him. And they took him to Srivas Pandit to ask him what has happened. And Srivas Pandit said, he has caught the disease. You know, he's caught the disease that even I want to catch. And in fact, all of us have to catch this disease. So it has to be caught from somewhere, from someone. You know, these books, it can be caught from these books also. Prabhupada is present in his books. But we must actively want that. And if you read Bhagavatam, if you read these shastras, if you hear these pastimes, Krishna is so wonderful. He really wants a relationship with you. Lord Ramchandra, we can also appreciate. It's not that because Prabhupada says, you know, we should focus on Krishna, that means forget everything else. I'm just reading the 10th canto. It doesn't work like that. We appreciate even these pastimes. Lord Ram is having such a nice reciprocal relationship with all the devotees, all of them, including the little spiders and squirrels. You know? So, Krishna is very kind. We're here in Vrindavan. We should try to cultivate, you know, pure Krishna consciousness. And, you know, it's really wonderful. You have a relationship with Krishna that's very, very natural. Very natural relationship. You know, to the extent that Yoga Maya covers you so much that even though Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill, you still think he's an ordinary boy. Like the residents of Braj, when they went to Nanda Baba, and they told him, they came as a group and they told him, "We're convinced. We have sat down, we thought about it, we're convinced. Your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." He was 7, he lifted Govardhan Hill, he killed Putana, he swallowed the forest fire. We're convinced. He has to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no other way. And Nanda Baba just starts laughing. He just starts laughing at him. And he says, This boy who passes urine on yagyas, this boy who steals butter, this boy who sneaks out, goes into the forest, God knows what he does all night, you think he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he just starts laughing and laughing. And as soon as he starts laughing in this way, all the residents, all the coward men, they all like go back, "Yeah, how could we even think that? What's wrong with us? Yeah. Krishna's not God. He didn't kill Putana. She just died anyway. She probably had some disease. He didn't lift Govardhan Hill. There were so many people with sticks. Even the bulls were holding it up. Bulls are big and strong. Krishna was just standing there, you know. And everyone was playing along that, "Oh, you're lifting the Govardhan Hill." Like a little kid, you know, when you play some games with him, you pretend like you lose. That's what everyone was doing with Krishna. And immediately Yogamaya covered them. Such a wonderful relationship you can have with Krishna. And this is what Krishna wants. We're talking about needs and wants. This is what he wants. He wants to be a person. He doesn't want to be four-handed Narayan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not what he likes. And if you want to love Krishna, then you have to know him. And you have to know what he likes. This is what he likes. He likes to be in Vrindavan, treated, you know, pampered and patted like an ordinary little boy. And that's what we have to cultivate. Anyway, we have 5 minutes left. I could think of more things to say, but maybe if there's some questions or comments. Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a wonderfully enlivening class. When you mentioned how Krishna's face is the most important, somehow it came into my mind the verse we sing at deity greeting, that each of the limbs of that transcendental figure can perform the functions of all the other senses. And I was thinking that means all the different parts of the body. You can also see the emotions if we had the qualification. So you actually covered what I was thinking in the rest of the class about how by reading any part of the Bhagavatam. But I just wanted to give it back because it was such a wonderful realization that I got. That by studying the Bhagavatam under the Guru's direction, we can get Krishna's mercy in full. So thank you very, very much for such a nice class.
Thanks. Well, you were speaking about what 65, Manmanabhavanto. And you say the Lord says he take home back home to God. And here we see when Narasimha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu. That time he told Palak Maharaj, "Your father is already liberated. Your poor family, everybody is liberated." But here we see Hiranyakashipu had a curse of taking three births. So how we can understand he was liberated when Lord is promising Pallag Maharaj that he is already liberated? So can you specify something?
Well, one thing is he is a devotee. You know, Jaya and Vijaya came in different forms. So in one sense, they were already liberated. Even if you see the pastime with Jaya and Vijaya, they stopped the four Kumaras from coming. It was providence. That's what Bhagavatam says. Providence got them cursed. Why did providence get them cursed? Because Krishna wanted to have some fun. He wanted to kill some people. You know, you can't do that in the spiritual world. Krishna desires to do everything. Whatever you can think of, all those desires are there in Krishna. So these are pastimes of the Lord. So if a devotee of Krishna comes to the material world so that Krishna can be happy by killing him, then he's already liberated. It's not, it's, you know.
He takes three births again.
Yeah, but those births are there for Krishna's satisfaction anyway. So it's, you know, you can be liberated in your current condition. You know, you don't have to be. It's not a disposition. Liberation does not necessarily mean like you're back home, back to God. You can be in a Brahma Bhuta is a liberated platform, right? It's a Brahma Bhuta stage. Although they were demons, but they were, you know, in the pastime of the Lord. That's liberated itself. In one sense, they are back home, back to God. They're with Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Ji, you said that by even if someone leads the life of Karmi in Vrindavan, leaving the body, they will go to Vaikuntha, they will not go to Krishna Loka. You see so many monkeys around Vrindavan. You know what kind of life they are leading. After leaving the body, they will go to Vaikuntha. That's my question.
You can actually go to Vaikuntha without prema. You can't go to Goloka, Vrindavan, without Krishna Prema. But Vaikuntha is a type of liberation. You know, you get the same form of as Krishna himself. Yeah, so these monkeys, they suffer a lot. I went on Govardhan Parikram the other day, I saw a monkey with a hand that was attached to his arm with a, just by one string, like a vein or something, you know, and he was just sitting there suffering. So Vrindavan is very kind, but she's like a kind mother that chastises you by giving you this body of a monkey, and you suffer a lot. They're suffering. These animals are really suffering. You can see how much they're suffering. But because they're in Vrindavan, they attain liberation at the end, you know. But you won't go to Goloka Vrindavan, which is our goal. So your Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur even goes to the extent in his Vrindavan Mahimamrita. He goes to the extent of saying attainment of Vaikuntha is no different to the attainment of hell. That's his bhav, obviously. But it's also true for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We don't want Vaikuntha. You know?
My question, they will not take another birth for the monkeys?
I'm not too sure. I would have to research. I don't know. This is what I heard from Prabhupada. I can send you a link to that class. You can hear that.
Thank you, sir. Prabhu, as you were seeing, we see the face of the Lord. Generally, Prabhupada said we should always meditate on His lotus feet. So when we meditate on His lotus feet, and then we see on His face, going from down to up, then we are attracted to His face.
Yeah.
But mostly sometimes we see that we don't see His lotus feet, we just directly see His face. We think that His face is very nice. But as a devotee, we should always try to see His lotus feet.
Yeah, it's true. There's a verse in the 7th canto where there's Sakam devotee and Nishkam devotees, and the demigods were Sakam devotees because they would look directly at the face, and Prahlad Maharaj was Nishkam because he was looking at the feet. It's mentioned like this. So that's true. We appreciate lotus feet. It's a nice meditation. But there's more than just feet, you know, and we have to go up. And Mataji made a very nice point. She said how Krishna can use any part of His body to do anything. You know, if He wants, He can eat with His ears, or He can see with His nose. But Krishna and Vrindavan, you'd very rarely see someone feeding His ears, you know. Or you'd very rarely see Him speaking through His feet. He likes to use things properly, or, you know, however proper you could consider it to be. So the face is the main thing. Feet, go up to the face also. Please don't stay at the feet forever. Okay. If there's no more questions or comments, then we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.